Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast.
Hello.
I'm, of course, joined with Fishwife's favourite.
It's me, David Wetno.
How are you?
I'm okay.
How do you do?
Yeah,
have you been immersed in the snooker this week?
Yeah, I almost got snookered out at one point.
I did, actually. Actually, before we start, can I just say, did you see Barry Hearn did a press conference right at the start of the World Championship?
All right.
And he said he had some, like, really important, huge news about, like, the future of snooker.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really intrigued what it could be. Any ideas?
I think it's an extra ball.
An extra ball?
Yeah. Put an extra ball on the table somewhere.
An extra pocket?
Yeah, an extra pocket right in the middle, behind the black.
Like a hole in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
But
it's got to be something big like that, hasn't it?
Well, actually, turns out they've just extended their contract with Yorisport. Oh. Boring.
Dull.
Very. Barry, but there has been some good snooker this week.
Yeah, there has.
I, too, got a bit snookered out midweek when it was up to the sort of quarterfinal stage, and I was getting a bit low on it. All the players I wanted to do well, like Murphy, McGill, Ronnie, Trump,
all
knocked out.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. Oh. And for that day, I didn't watch any of it. And then in the evening, you had the Higgins, McManus.
Oh, yeah.
Hawkins, Fu.
Yeah. Great matches.
Two great matches. I didn't even know which table to watch. It was so exciting.
Yeah, it was.
That got me really back into it. And I was really behind McManus after that. I was like McManus all the way.
Yeah, I wanted him to win.
And his match against Ding was amazing. A great comeback, but Ding's in another league, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think I expected Ding to win, and he did.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously on the Monday now. So
final day.
Yeah. Last two sessions today. Did you watch the... Were you watching the final yesterday?
Yeah.
When Selby went 6-0 up, I was thinking
whitewash.
This is going to be like it's going to be over in three sessions.
But he's pulled it back.
He has, yeah. He's playing really well last
night. That's all I want, really. It's just a good match now. I'm not too fussed who wins. I don't think
Terry Griffiths must have been in there giving him some coffee. Oh, come on, Ding,
Ding, Ding,
oh Ding.
A lot of older players been doing really well in this championship.
Yeah,
which is quite interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean John Higgins, McManus. Who else?
Foo, yeah. I had this strange feeling at one point that I was like watching snooker in the 90s.
He's gone through a snooker time warp.
Yeah, had a Deja Marco Foo.
That's his nickname.
Deja Marco Foo. Yeah. Do you remember one of our friends said that in their work somebody phoned in with Deja Vu?
Oh, yeah.
Phoned in sick with Deja Vu.
The guy at the boss went, I've heard all this before, mate.
That's a great excuse.
Yeah, I can't come into work. I've got crippling deja vu.
You could use it multiple times as well. And if they queried it, you could say it's captured.
Yeah. But said this last week. That's it!
But yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, the Foo Selby game was a long slog, wasn't it? They were both struggling.
Yeah, it was good though. I mean, it was good, but.
Yeah.
Like.
It's just annoying when when you see two players struggling like that.
Yeah.
But did you hear about what John Berger said during it?
No.
Because it was the session went on so long, it like overran.
Yeah.
And off, he didn't know the mic was on. Yeah. And you could hear him sort of off mic going, I wanted to watch the racing today. At this rate, I'm not even going to be able to watch fucking match of the day.
Oh. And it went out on the commentary. That's so funny.
Proper faux pas, like.
Not much fucking match of the fucking day. Oh!
But yeah, he was taken off commentary for the evening session.
Because he'd done a naughty swear.
But you got to love commentary gaffes. Oh, that's the best thing about snooker.
You see what Dennis Taylor said the other day? He's talking about, like, you know, we were saying old players doing really well in the tournament. He went, Rolling Back the Years. One of the most famous songs of all time. I simply read. Rolling Back the Years.
Rolling Back the Years. There's a funny one with John Parrott when he first ever did commentary, and he's in the commentary box with Willie Thorne, and Willie thought he was going to go for a pink, so he goes, this is just probably just going to go for the pink here, and John goes, I think you could take a black, Willie, but it's going to be tight. That's a great one.
Oh, that's brilliant.
There's that really famous one as well with Ted Lowe when he's
commenting.
I think he was commentating on Fred Davis, because Fred qualified at like 68 to get to the Crucible. It was amazing. And there was a point where he was stretching for a shot and he had to put his leg over the table like you do. And Ted went, at the age of 68 there, Fred Davis struggling to get his leg over. He realised what he'd said and tried to sort of correct it. And he went, maybe he should just use his left hand. That's a great one.
That is really good.
And then there's the Steve Davis one from a few years back. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Ronnie went off to the toilet and he goes, Ronnie going off there to the toilet, composing himself for the final push.
Brilliant. Must be hard though, like when you're a snooker commentator.
Yeah.
To talk.
It's difficult.
Because, I mean, some of the sessions when they go on for ages, it's like, you know, they'll be on for 4 hours. And,
I suppose with snooker, you've got time to think.
Yeah, but you don't have to talk all the time.
No, but in other sports, it's like, it's got to be instant. So you got a bit of thinking time. So there's no excuse in snooker.
Yeah, but I suppose the other difference is in most sports, there's a lot of action all the time. In snooker, there's a lot of times just two men looking at a table.
Well, yeah.
It's hard to talk about stuff like that.
There's another famous Ted Lowe one. He was commentating on a game and he got like a message in his earpiece saying, there's a news flash, we're going to have to go away from the snooker. And all his monitors went black. He's like, what's going on? And it was the siege on the Iranian embassy.
Oh, during the... Yeah.
So, like, the SAS would go in it.
Yeah.
So, it was, like, quite dramatic. And they said, oh, okay, we're going to come back now, Ted. You've got to introduce the snooker, you know, quite sensitively, this being quite dramatic. And he went, okay. And he's sort of thinking on his feet. And he went, and from one embassy to another, back to the snooker.
That's brilliant.
So, that was a good one. Mm. Also, I read, I don't know if this is true, but it was on a snooker forum. And it was Mark Williams. He was stretching for a shot and he realised he needed his extensions. He went back to his chair to like screw it in. And he noticed there was like something on the end on the butt, like some liquid or something. And he wiped it with his cloth and he smelt it and sort of winced. And John Berger went, I don't want to know where that's been. Well, I'm not sure that's true.
That sounds apocryphal.
It's funny though.
It is funny.
But yeah, that's all the snooker gaffes.
All of them we've done. All the gaffes.
I'm sure there's some more we can do in future episodes.
Yeah, there must be great ones.
Peter Ebdon's been doing a lot of commentary because he was covering for Dennis.
Yes, I'm Peter Ebdon.
Yes, doing a lot of commentary. And that running joke about getting John to try an organic banana smoothie.
Can I interest you in an organic banana smoothie?
He's wearing a bit thin, that.
Yeah, it was wearing thin with John Berg. He was just going, no. Well, Peter.
Well, Peter said at one point, because Dennis was coming back, he went, I'll be going back to Dubai tomorrow. Now Dennis is back. And John went, I think I'll have a banana smoothie to celebrate.
Loads of material.
When he was commentating on Ali Carter's game, because obviously he sort of coaches him a little bit.
Yeah, they're best mates, aren't they?
The interval, he ran out of the box and into his dressing room to chat to him. Hello, Peter here.
Have some bananas, Ali. Can I interest you in an organic banana smoothie? No, Peter!
But Ali came out and knocked in a century, so...
What's a banana?
A visit from Banana Man.
Vegan power.
Vegan power.
Vegan power. I see you've got some books here on the... on the table.
Yeah.
Are these recent purchases?
Yeah, to inspire you.
To inspire me. So we've got, first one I'm picking up here is Ray Reardon's Bedside Snooker. I don't know if this is a new way of playing the game or if it's supposed to be a book that you read at your bedside. Yeah, you have got a huge snooker memorabilia collection. I mean, you're often down at car boot sales, aren't you?
Say that in a disparaging way.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I've been known to get down to the car boots, but they are so grim in the cold, early mornings.
You have to get there early, otherwise all the good stuff's gone.
Never find anything.
Yeah.
But I'll still keep on going. Actually, last weekend when I was down there, I walked in, I was at this stall, and this woman turned to me and she went, oh, don't you just love the thrill of the boot? I was like, no.
The thrill of the boot.
I was like, no, freezing. I can't find anything.
Well, that's why you can't get anything, because all those people who love the thrill of the boot are down there before you.
Okay, they're the thrill of the boot. But actually, I was looking on eBay for some snooker memorabilia.
Oh, yeah.
And I came across a CD by Paul McKenna called Sensational Snooker Hypnosis.
Okay.
And I thought that'd be really good for the podcast, just to have a bit of a laugh with.
Yeah.
But it was like £23. Wow. And I thought, I can't really justify spending that.
That's a lot. I mean, it must be good. That's made you into a great player.
Well, I didn't buy it, but I looked on Google and there's loads of other like hypnotherapy recordings, like snooker ones.
Hmm.
And this one really made me laugh. I'll play you a little clip from it. It's so this guy's called Rick Collingwood at Mind Motivations. And have a listen to this. He's quite adamant that you will win. So listen to this.
From now on, you are going to find, whenever you are practicing or playing in a competition, your mind will be very calm, clear, accurate, and ordered. And you will expect to win the game, and when you will. and all of your concentration and thought patterns will remain in the front part of your brain, so your body can naturally follow your natural desire to win, and win you will, and you will be able to think more clearly. You will be able to perform more accurately, and you will expect to win, and win you will.
And when you will.
So next time we have a game of snooker, you'll be playing against my subconscious.
Well, that'll be difficult. That man,
yes,
sounded very creepy, and he sounded like a baddie of Doctor Who. And it wasn't helped by the fact there was this strange sort of like BP sort of spaceship sound in the background.
I like it. Oh. And when you will, you will,
and you will expect to win. And when you will.
So I will win next time we play. So we're kind of at the halfway point now, aren't we, of the final?
Yeah.
Ding Selby, who do you think is going to win?
I think that Selby got off to a really good start. Mm. And I think I was watching last night, and Ding played really well. And if he'd got it back to, if he'd finished 9-8, or, you know, if he got it level at any point, because he never got it level, it went 8-7, and then 9-7. And I think psychologically, 10-7 is so different from 9-7, you know what I mean? It's like, or 9-8, it's a huge, that to have that lead going overnight, I think Selby will probably go on to win. And Selby, like, he's always got a great temperament. I thought Ding would, in the past, the Ding of old, if he'd been 6-0 down, I think he would have crumbled. Like,
Ding seems to be really up and down in every match he plays.
Yeah.
Like, he goes through spells of just being flawless.
Yeah,
or
and
just
then
nothing.
He'll fall apart, yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be close, I reckon. Hopefully, it'll be close.
I mean, the thing about Selby is he's come through, like, some long, grueling matches, like the one against Fu.
Yes.
Must have been so, like...
He's probably not played better than Ding, but he's been more consistent. That's probably what you need in the Crucible.
And he's just got that. He's just got that ability to keep going. Like, as a match player, he'll just keep grinding, keep grinding.
A lot of the frames you find will go to a really tense finish where it's like really tight safety play. Like, it must be draining. I mean, frame after frame, like getting back to your chair and you have like an adrenaline dump.
Oh, best waiting for the toilet for that. Maybe. For a comfort break before you do your adrenaline dump.
Adrenaline. It sounds like an extreme sport, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm going adrenaline dumping tomorrow.
Bungee dumping. But do you think it's hard to get back up for the next frame, or do you think you just sort of stay on the level?
I think between frames it's probably fine. I think the hardest part would be like when you have a longer gap, so maybe the mid-session interval.
Yes.
But obviously that comes at good times. Some players need it.
And Ding definitely needs
it. And, you know, the gap between sessions, it's a good chance to go, you know, and Ding will have been with Terry Griffiths getting some coaching.
Yes.
Oh, Ding. Come on, Ding. Gonna win some money. I don't know. I just think last night when I was watching it, did you watch it to the end last night? They were playing till about midnight. Mm-hmm. And they were getting so knackered.
Yeah.
They were just making stupid mistakes and playing safeties and going in off like straight into the pocket, like just not seeing the line properly and stuff. I mean, it just must be so exhausted.
I mean, Ding especially coming through three best of 19s just to even get there.
Exactly. He's a qualifier. I mean, no one's really talking about the fact that he's a qualifier. Like,
I suppose because he only just dropped out of the top 16.
Yeah, but who was the last qualifier to win?
Sean Murphy.
So that's over 10 years, isn't it?
But it's slightly different in that he was in the top 16 nearly all season.
Yeah, dropped out, yeah.
But still, he was a qualifier.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how the quality this year.
Yeah, there's much more depth.
Yeah. It's much better, though, isn't it?
It's made it a really interesting tournament. I mean, a lot of the top seeds went out in the first round, first or second round. And it does make it interesting. And it would have been great if someone like Alan McManus had come through.
Yeah, I really wanted him to do well, but he just couldn't sustain it, could he?
No.
It was good to see, though.
Yeah.
Go on, to call it then. Who do you think? Ding or Selby?
Selby.
I think Selby too. I think the pressure is going to mount on Ding.
Yeah.
As he gets towards the sort of final session.
I think there's quite a lot of pressure on Selby as well, and because he's not playing particularly well.
No, he's not.
He's managing to win frames in like two visits, three visits, because his safety's so good, his safety's so tight that he can win those kind of frames.
Also,
with Ding, in some of the matches, Ding's just come out and won like four frames in a row, just rattling off.
Yeah, yeah.
clearance after clearance. Like, and if he does that to him, then the pressure starts to mount on Selby then, because he's thinking, I can't even get to the table. So
did you hear about Robbo and Vinny breaking down in their ute on the way back from the Crucible?
Aye, nay. The ute's breaking down!
Oh man, what about like calling like the AI or something, or like the wreck?
Get on the bloody horn, get the wreck out here.
Okay, it's time for our feature snooker nicknames.
Snooker nicknames.
Okay, see if you can guess some of these.
Go on.
The Wizard of Oz.
It's got to be an Australian.
Yes, not who you're thinking.
Who is a wizard?
It's also a wizard.
This is a current player?
No.
I don't know who it is.
It's a. Do you remember Quentin Ha?
Oh yeah, he used to smash the pack open off the break.
I found them quite exciting when I was a kid watching Quentin.
The snooker establishment didn't like him, did they?
He's banned. I think he was banned for match fixing.
Not for breaking off.
Okay, you ready for your next one?
Yeah, go on.
The Boss.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yep. Oh, it's Tony Draga.
That is it.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be the Dragon.
The Dragon.
The yeah. Dragon. Is he from Malta?
Yes.
You mean the Maltese Falcon? That's another one.
Just said the Boss. Emperor of Pot.
Ah, that was a lad at our school.
We did used to call someone that at school, didn't we? The Emperor of Pot.
Yeah.
You could get anything you wanted off him. He had a 98% pot success rate off him.
Yeah. Got expelled, didn't he?
Yeah.
Probably.
The Emperor of Pot.
That's the thing, isn't it? Joe Davis.
Yeah, it's Joe Davis. Mr. Poomtastic. Mr. Poombastic, sorry.
Poombastic.
Poombastic.
It could be Mr. Poomtastic as well. Deshawat Poomjang. He's great, isn't he?
He's like a Norman Wisdom of snooker. Bumbling around the table.
Grim Dale.
How do you play with such a sort of wild abandon?
Don't know. He's pressed off his head and he's been chatting to the Emperor Pot, I think.
Yeah, here's one for you. An old player. The Silver Fox.
Oh. I don't know.
David Taylor.
I never
the
heard of
Silver
him.
Fox. You have to keep him away from the Crucible Bins.
Yeah.
I think that's all for this week. We're running out. We're going to have to finish this feature soon.
Well, if Marco Fu has his way, he would get rid of all.
No, he's not keen on the old snooker
nicknames. I saw an interview with him where they were asking like about the sort of the introductions and all that and about nicknames, and he was like, "Oh no, I don't like nicknames. I think it demeans the players."
Do you think?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I think it's great.
I think it fuels
a bit of excitement.
Our feature.
But I think fair enough. If he doesn't want to have a nickname, I think Rob Walker from now on should introduce him as Marco, the man with no nickname, Foo!
Yeah, brilliant. I suppose he probably hates having walk-on music as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
His is quite funky, actually.
What is his walk-on music?
I don't know what it is. There's some poor walk-on music, isn't there?
Ding Dong Wheeze is great. It sounds like computer game music.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a really weird sound effect. I don't know what it is.
McGill's got the best one, This Charming Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite cool. But a lot of them are pretty poor, like... I think Gould comes onto like a Motorhead track and like headbang.
Does he? Boss,
that's quite what good. Would you
get you fired up? That
actually, I know what I'd have.
What would you have?
I've got a little sample of it.
Go on.
Do you want? Can you sort of introduce me and I'll play it?
Okay, yeah. So please welcome the 4 times Masters winner. You've done quite well. The 4 times Masters winner, the Scouse Pothead,
hey.
Ben Maudsley.
So what do you think about that?
It's a long walk.
It's a long walk.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you would end up being associated with notorious paedophile Ralph Harris.
That's not good, is it?
No, you don't want that on your conscience.
I'll have to think of something better.
Yeah, maybe the Jim will fix it theme tune.
Yeah. I think Dominic Dale comes onto one of his own songs. He's singing like an opera.
Does he sing it?
Yeah.
As he comes down.
There's a really funny clip I've got, and it's Dominic Dale teaching Rob Walker how to sing. And he gives him little examples to try out.
Yeah.
And every time Dominic's getting louder and louder, and like you can tell that like Rob Walker's just crying with laughter in the background. You can sort of hear it. Have a listen to this. It's really fun.
Okay, you give an example then.
So, yeah, you try to copy me. I'll sing it a little bit lower down for you initially, because you've got a low voice. Your bass baritone.
Easier for me. The high stuff is a nightmare.
Okay, well, you should never force or strain a voice. It'll extend and stretch with practice and singing, basically. So here we go. Lend me your aid. Can you do that for me?
Lend me your aid.
That's very good. We're going to sing slightly higher now. Lend me your aid.
Lend me your aid.
Did I go too high there?
You're starting to spread. Now, this is where you'll need to cover the vowel sound to an ur, because if you sing it high and keep the A as an A, what happens is you spread and you basically shout. It becomes like Beatles stuff, you know, pop singing. You'll end up sounding like this. Lend me your aid. And it's coming out of here and it's spreading. See, the voice can't go anywhere there. You need to point it through the harp palate. So the A becomes an ur and it becomes... Lend me your aid. See, because of that. And you can go up and up and up, you see.
Just finish off with a little verse of something. I mean, maybe what you do at the Welsh Open. Do you want to do Delilah?
Oh, I'll do a little bit of Unchained Melody, shall I?
Right, let
me... Your love to me.
I'm not quite sure how you follow that. Dominic Dale live at the Lyceum. He'll be here, depending on how he gets on against Mark Davis. You can buy tickets for about 50p. Paul, he is such a character. You must remember Dominic from his early amateur days when he was playing back in Wales.
So, what do you think about that?
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If you lend me your ear.
You distorted the mic. So if you want singing lessons, get in contact with old Dom.
What does it mean, lend me your eight?
Aid, I thought it was.
Oh, aid. I thought you said lend me your eight.
I don't know. It's just a nonsense. Like it's just a nonsense. sorry, the cat's
you
read, just...
The cat just attacked your hand. Oh!
The cat's called Tony Meow.
Lend me your...
yes. But that was funny, I thought.
Yes. Yeah, he's a bit of an odd man, Dominic Dale, isn't he?
I like him.
The spaceman.
I like him.
Remember that tournament a few years ago where, I think it might be the World Championship, where he had chicken pox?
Oh, God.
And he looked so ill.
Yeah.
He was walking around the table and he just looked dreadful. Like, he was like sweaty and like covered in spots. And like, his hair was all mad because he couldn't be bothered to do anything. And it's just like, bloody hell.
He's doing commentary on Eurosport.
Is he? Yeah. Has he gone to Eurosport?
Gone to the other side.
He does BBC commentary for the Welsh Open, doesn't
he? I think he's quite good. He's quite amusing.
Yeah.
Colourful character.
Oh, he's an odd bloke.
He's a billiards historian, cue collector, opera fanatic.
Yeah, sounds like an interesting man.
General buffoon.
General boar. All round crashing boar.
That should be his nickname, General Boar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's competition time again. Last week, we had no entries.
There was no entries at all. But I think it's my descriptions aren't
I thought it was good. Enough. So, the description was for Tom Ford.
Tom Ford.
And it was farmhand on a night out.
Yeah.
It's good description.
I think if you look at him...
Google him.
You will see that I am right. And so, you are all wrong.
Are you ready for this week's, everybody?
I am
okay,
ready to describe.
I'll turn around the picture and you must describe. Are you ready?
I hope
you probably won't know who this is, actually.
Okay. That doesn't matter. I don't need to know
But describe away. Here you go.
Okay. all right. I think what he looks like... This is quite specific.
Okay.
So just bear with me.
Okay.
He looks like a low-cost stripper, male stripper.
What?
Who's, you know, who's like sort of character.
Yes.
You know, he's not a policeman, he's not a cowboy. His character is Dennis Taylor. So he's a Dennis Taylor stripper.
He's a little bit like that. You'd have to...
Well, there's something seedy about
him. When you find out who he is, you'll realise that is a good description.
You know, he's got like a sort of air of sleaziness about him.
And if you do think you know who it is, send your entries to snookerpodcast@gmail.com. Edwin, you will. If you were on a plane going to a snooker tournament, who would you least like to be sat next to?
someone in the snooker world.
Hello, Peter here, move up.
Peter, yes. Would you like an organic banana smoothie? No, Peter.
He'd be lecturing you on veganism.
Barry. Barry. Because he'd just be giving you his business plans.
Oh, like, I'm going to do this with a snooker.
I'm going to buy an airline.
Darts.
Going to call it Nugget Airlines.
Nugget. Nugget Airlines. My next stage of the business.
Lazowski. Hey, Lazowski. He sounds like the chief of police in a small town in the USA.
Hey, it's Jack Lazowski.
It's Chief Lazowski. Jack Lazowski.
I'm a
private detective.
What would a snooker private detective go and investigate?
In-offs.
In-offs?
Yeah. I don't know. Bad bounces.
Someone's stolen my flatback pack.
Heavy
Actually,
contacts.
Actually, Willie Fawn got his teddy bear stolen. Do you know about this story?
No.
They were doing a snooker exhibition in Ireland, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they had lots of downtime in snooker. Willie was down the fairground on the grabbers.
Oh, I love grabbers.
Trying to grab a teddy bear for his girlfriend. I just drop the claw in, get myself a teddy bear.
This bear hair.
This bear hair. And he said he spent like so much money on it, he just couldn't grab one.
Yeah.
He's a bit disappointed.
Some con in it.
And they were playing cards later on in the evening, and Alex Higgins walks in with a massive teddy bear. He's like, oh, where'd you get that bear for?
Oh, I say, Alex, where'd you get that bear?
But they were playing, and I think Alex ran out of money, and Willie said, oh, could I buy that bear off your hair? And Alex was like, yeah, okay, whatever. So he bought the bear off him, but he knew he was drunk, so he said, Alex, I just want you to remember that I bought this off you, and I don't want you to ask for it back.
Yeah, I know what you're like, don't ask for it back.
So they're on the plane, and Willie's got the bear sat next to him on the plane.
Strapped in.
Strapped in.
Come on, bear, let's go home.
And Alex comes over, hey, where's my teddy bear?
Where's my teddy bear?
Bring me my teddy bear. And Willie's like, I bought it off you. I bought this bear hat off you. And they start like fighting over it in the air.
A tug of war.
Tug of war over the teddy bear. Yeah. Hi, my teddy bear.
My teddy bear.
My teddy bear. Hi.
Can I have an extra seat for my teddy bear? Yeah.
And my flatback pack.
What is flatback teddy
I've been
bear?
Down to IKEA and bought myself a flatback pack.
I love grabbers though. Do you remember that time me and you went on holiday?
Oh god.
We went to
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yeah.
Spend all your holiday money on grabbers.
Yeah, most people go for the pawn and the pot. We went for the grabbers. I spent all my money on grabbers. I've got nothing left for boobs or pot.
That's what it was like.
Yeah. Awful week.
No money.
Actually, it was a great weekend. I had a brilliant time.
No, don't you? I did. It was terrible.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe on Podbean or iTunes. And if you want to get in contact, it's snookerpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.